This podcast may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Today, we're going over A Vineyard Christmas by me, Katie Wilbert. I'm the guest today, and this is my movie.
Hey!
So, if you haven't seen it, and you really should, and you don't want us to ruin it for you, you should pass on this one, and we'll see you next time.
Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our Cuss Your Reverend Love Letter to Rom-Coms, where we're doing actually a little mini-sode action, and we are here with the lovely, the amazing, the loquacious Katie Wilbert. We'd love to introduce you to her by briefly oversimplifying her life. She wrote the script for A Vineyard Christmas, but who is she really? Well, she grew up in Sacramento, California, was a musical theater geek, and moved down to LA after high school to get her degree from Long Beach State, but didn't do drama there because everybody's too necky, apparently, in the plays. I don't know. Anyhow, she has moved on to do many other interesting things, which we will talk with her about today. Welcome!
Welcome, Katie!
Also, I am here with my lovely co-host, Miss Tamara Cosio.
And I am here with my co-host, Corinne Edding.
Yay!
Wow. You did your research. That was a great intro. Thank you. Everyone was too nakey in my college plays. You are absolutely correct.
Well, you know, I felt a little bit of a vibe from that because while I was cyber-stalking you, as one does.
As one does.
I ran across this interview with you and you were like, yeah, I just didn't feel comfortable inviting my dad to all these necky plays. And I was like, so this podcast that we have here, Tamara and I have here.
Hi.
I told my parents, do not listen to the podcast. You will not like the podcast. And yeah. They listened to the podcast and they did not like the podcast.
Imagine that. I've had very similar conversations with my dad where I've had to just tell him, like, don't watch, or I have to give like a real preamble, like, here's exactly what I'm going to say and exactly what you'll see so that when you see it, you're not offended or like, who is my daughter?
Right.
I'm acting, and so it's not real. So I relate to that very much.
You didn't have to give them any disclaimers for A Vineyard Christmas, did you?
No, I sure didn't. This was actually a relief to have written something that my whole family can watch. Most of the time, I'll come out with like a new comedy video or something, and my sister will start watching it beside my nieces and then send me a text like, a little warning would have been nice. Like, I started watching it with them and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I feel like by now
you should know.
You probably kind of know what I'm going to be making. But no, this one I get to show everybody. And that is a nice little change up that I don't have to give any warnings or cautions or anything. It's just rated G fun for the whole family.
Should tell your sister it's not a safe space. It's not a safe space.
Yeah.
That is an homage to a little short that Katie wrote and directed that we just watched that we are probably going to repeat ad nauseum. Safe space. This is a safe space.
For the rest
this
of our lives. Space. Yes.
Safe space. Oh, safe wow. Space. Y'all really did your research. Now I'm like, oh, God, what else did you watch?
Well, we contacted your dad and we have these baby photos. No, I'm just kidding.
That would be impressive.
And we're going to invite him on the call right now. Come on up, Dad.
Oh, God.
So you've done so many things. You've done acting, directing, writing. You're a comedian. Do you have anything that you kind of lean towards as something you want to do like more fully in the future?
I guess writing has become that for me because I didn't initially come to L.A. to be a writer. That just sort of accidentally happened, I guess. Because coming out here to be an actor and like really wanting to pursue comedy, I started writing my own stuff sort of out of a need to like create my own voice and like be able to show people like, here's how you could cast me. And like, here's the stuff I know I could play really well. And then as time went on, just writing was the thing that I always did without being told to, like had the endless energy for it, but I still hadn't been like, yeah, I'm a writer. It was still just kind of this necessary thing. So now at this point, I feel like it's definitely flipped where I'm spending most of my time writing. If it is my career now. And I would love to be doing a little more acting here and there, but it's also, I kind of like the balance I found. At some point, I would love to get more into directing films, but at this stage, I'm content to just keep like honing my writing voice, and I get so easily excited about new projects. So I'm like, well, I'll just stay in this lane for a while.
Okay, but like, what if Hallmark was like, we want you to be our next leading lady on Christmas Full of Lights Extravaganza? Would you be like,
absolutely, of course. No, I mean, I would love to, and I think it would be real dreamy to write something that I can star in. And I did have conversations with Real One about this. Yeah, it's definitely like not out of the question. I think it's interesting, when I've gone to write the two rom-coms that I did sell to them, neither of them were really like quite right for me. And that's fine. I just don't know why I did that if I did want to star in one. But I guess that's where it's like, I come up with an idea and then I get so invested in developing this character as like a real person that then I forget that element of like, and where could I put myself in? Which is probably for the best, because then I'm not trying to like force something that doesn't make sense. But no, I
you're
love
just waiting.
That. Are you kidding?
You're just waiting until you write a Prince movie. I get it. You want to be royalty, and I understand. Yes.
Yes. Ugh, you took the words right out of my mouth. that'd be great. My whole life, I just want to be kind of a princess. It'd be great if I could retire into a castle in Scotland.
Oh,
isn't that the dream?
Thanks so much for reaching out about A Vineyard Christmas. I would not have happened upon it otherwise. And when I saw that there was ice wine in this, I was like,
oh God,
we are in.
Yes. Big ice wine fans?
No.
No.
Still threatening to buy some. We still have not done it. And one day it'll happen. But Katie, are you a wine connoisseur by chance? Have you tried ice wine?
I do like wine. And I have not tried ice wine, and I wrote a movie about it. I did a lot of research. I guess, too, I'm like, what would I have done? Like, tasted it and then been like, yep, it's sweet. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know that it would have informed my writing that much more as far as, like, the character talking about, like, which grapes it are, you know, in the process and all that.
I would be so afraid that I would take a sip and be like, oh, no, this is horrible. Why do they even go through so much trouble to even make the ice wine if it's so, like, sweet? And I'm just not a sweet person, so.
I think I do have that fear a little, that I'm like, but then if I try it and I hate it, it's better to just not know at this point.
Yes. Yes. I'd say that's a smart writing choice, Katie.
Except for all listeners out there, I bet it's so good and you're going to watch this movie and really want ice wine.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we were introduced to ice wine via Hallmark movies. Did not know it existed before Hallmark movies.
Did not.
We're very excited to get back to our roots with ice wine.
Your Hallmark roots?
Yes.
Love it.
That was over a year ago, Corinne. That was over a year ago. I think that ship sailed, honestly. And I'm the one that has to drink it. You don't even drink wine. So I would be the guinea pig that's having to like taste and be like, that's
oh, so good.
I'm just bringing a funnel and a tube. A funnel and a tube. We'll just knock it on out.
Thanks. Thanks. Glad you have my liver in your best interest.
Yeah, I was wondering if there were times during this movie where when you were writing it, you were like, and then he thrusts her up against the kegs of wine, casks of wine.
I wish. I mean, I'll be honest. I watched the dailies and there's a scene in the movie where Heather and Rudy are having some marble cake and decaf coffee and they're like chatting by the fireside and they are eye fucking the shit out of each other. And it's one of the points where I was watching. I was like, oh my gosh, like they're gonna do it right now, I'm pretty sure. And when I talked to Nikki, the actress who's the lead in the film who plays Heather, she's so great, she's like, oh yeah, she's like, we had great chemistry, but that scene especially, like after we stopped rolling, the crew were like, get a room already, like everyone was feeling it. And I think you can feel it, because they're like, it's really fun for me to watch, because I'm like, finally some steam, like it can still be G-rated and we can see that they like, no child is going to pick up on it, but us adult women who want to see it are going to be like, they want to rip each other's clothes off, like this is great, this is what we want to see. So, yeah, no, I didn't get to write that they throw each other up against the wall and get after it. But I think that they played it well enough that we get it. The subtext is there.
Oh, yeah.
In the Vineyard Christmas, were there sections where you had like your favorite part and then they were like, oh, no, we're changing this? Or
yes. Yes and no. I mean, I will say, like, so my producer, Kelly Lansing, who I worked with at Reel One, was so amazing. Just the best person to work with ever. But, you know, she's giving notes based off of what she knows about the buyers that Reel One is selling to. So yeah. I was talking about the specific mandates they have. So, of course, it's like I write my dream draft and then I'm like, now. And I really do try to incorporate what I already know so that we're not doing huge amounts of rewrites. And that would be things like not having more than like 6 main characters. And then if like an extra is a scene, can we like they shouldn't talk? They can just like nod or something because yeah. Then we have to pay the extra more for being a featured extra. Children cost more because we have to pay for tutors for them to be on set. Animals cost more because you have to pay for the handlers. So it's like you pick and choose the stuff that you want in the movie. So like I wanted a Christmas festival. Then it's like, all right, no kids in this movie because I want us to be able to have the budget to afford having all these extras in this scene. So like I already kind of knew the breakdown and the rules. So I feel like I did an okay first draft of trying to do that, which is for my own benefit more than anyone. So I don't have to do crazy amounts of rewrites. But that said, I feel like there were a couple things. For one, the first draft, Heather had a mom that was alive. She was alive and kicking. And also, Shannon and Heather had a sound guy named Reggie. And they were like a little team that all worked at Tannen TV, and that made so much more sense logically.
Yes, that makes a lot more sense. Yeah.
It makes so much more sense.
Never would you have like a TV show where there's just a camera woman and that's it.
Yes.
But, you know, Mindy Kaling has said before, romance is a lot like sci-fi, which I think is 100% true, that like to some degree when you're watching a romance, you are suspending the belief of this world and going like, yeah, I accept that that's true, yeah. Even though that's not how real life works. And I think that's really true for Hallmark movies because everyone's working under a budget that is extremely low. So you really like dive into the sci-fi world of romance when you have that many mandates. So like I had written other characters and they're like, we can't, we can't afford it. So we have to kill them. And it is a bit like killing your babies.
No mom for you.
I mean, it's fine. Like I really don't mind the rewriting process and I can definitely take a note, but you like mourn it a little bit because,
yeah,
you know, you kind of like fall in love with certain characters. Like the dad and the mom had such fun banter and it was like this really warm, nice vibe. But, you know, it also ends up being this interesting thing with Heather, like missing her mom and what it was like being in LA, not coming home after the death of a parent and stuff. So like, I actually like where it went because I think there's more like a heavier reality there. That's true for a lot of people at the holidays, you know? But no, originally there was a living mother and Shannon had a love story.
I wanted a love story for Shannon. I know. She's not going to end up with the younger brother.
I know. No, because Anton's gay, so that couldn't happen. And I don't even know if that came off as very clear. Like, he gets a phone number from someone at the end. But, like, Anton is gay. And that was not as clear. And that's okay, because it's like that happens within many, many drafts where, like, certain lines get cut and whatever. So it couldn't be Anton, because that wouldn't have worked.
I was thinking for a while it might be the dad. And I was like, this is a little random, but, you know, it could work. It could work.
Honestly.
Okay, I'm so glad you said that because there is some chem there. Like, I don't think it's intentional, but I do think, like, they just had a blast on set. And there's a couple shots that they kept in. Like, they're in the kitchen, like, making pancakes or something. And they keep this close-up of the dad, like, smiling warmly at Shannon. And it really, like, sort of gives the wrong impression. But I kind of love it. I'm like, sure, why not? Like, keep it in. Make people wonder. But no, that was not written in the script. There was no, like, love story with the dad. It was supposed to be this cameraman who got killed. But it definitely, like, you can watch the movie and you can see the sparks fly between Shannon and Manny Marquez, whose name I think we never hear. He's just like the dad.
He's played by Vincent Ross. How old is Vincent? Because I was trying to look that up because I got that too. Best friend chemistry with dad. I'm like, wait, how old is dad? Because dad looks pretty darn good for his age for being a dad.
I mean, I actually don't know how old he is, but he looks like he could be the same age as Heather.
Yeah, yeah. It's nowhere online. I looked. I was like, how old is Manny? Manny's age is unknown. Vincent Ross's unknown age.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's diverse.
I will say, Vincent did a good job of like holding himself like a dad. Like he had this like papa energy, and even like his cadence of speech like sort of set himself apart in age from everybody else, even though he looks very similar to everybody else in age. But no, I've watched tons of Hallmark's kind of style movies where where you're like, I'm confused, like when would these parents have had them? I think this child parent relationship is like physically impossible.
Maybe they kept Manny ambiguous so that he would be a DILF, like you could still see him,
you know,
as a father figure, or you know, somebody you might want to get to know a little bit more later.
Who knows? It could be intergenerational friendship or romance. There could be a whole second movie about Shannon and the dad.
Banner casting right there.
That's what happens when you like insist, instead of staying at a luxury hotel, that your camera operator comes stay with you at the family house.
Kind of sexy, really. Like there, it has all the trappings to be like a kind of steamy romance. It's not how it was supposed to be, but I'm always open to like when something wormholes its way in there. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to tell someone that's not what's happening. It's your interpretation. Maybe they're deeply in love, and this whole time they've been hanging out, there's this whole other story we don't know about.
Winky, winky.
Or could there be a second Vineyard Christmas?
I would love that. And the cast would love that, because they emailed me being like, we were joking about there being a second one and da da da. I'm like, I would love it. Absolutely. It could be in Europe or whatever. I think that'd be great.
And maybe the budget will allow for a sound man.
It'd be great. Poor Reggie. I really liked that character. He was sweet. But alas, you know?
Yeah.
Part of the process.
Just have to roll with the punches when you write.
Did you originally have, like, because you included different cultures and family traditions and stuff in there, did you originally include the Filipino culture in your script?
Currently, Heather's character is, she's part Irish, part Filipino. And that was intentional because I really wanted this scene of, like, talking about culture traditions and everyone having different backgrounds. And I liked the idea of Heather growing up with kind of a mishmash of different cultural traditions. But originally, she was part Irish, part Puerto Rican, because I had done a lot of research on like parandas, which is essentially like Christmas caroling, but with like trumpets, and it's like a big raucous. And I like really fell in love with that. And so originally her character was part Puerto Rican to reflect those fun traditions. But when Nikki got cast, I rewrote her character to reflect her own Filipino background. And I had reached out to Real One to be like, can I talk to Nikki? Like, I would really... I'm not Filipino. Like, I would love to talk to her about her own like family traditions, or if there's, you know, cultural traditions that are really common for a lot of Filipino families. And so I emailed Nikki, and her mom and aunties were really generous with giving information, and she was really excited about it. So yeah, I got to work with her to rewrite the character to like reflect more personal stuff, which was really cool. And so a lot of the stuff that is featured in the Friends Christmas scene, where they're talking so much about cultural traditions, is stuff that Nikki emailed me that she talked to her mom about and stuff. So things like her Lola's roasted lechon, which is a roasted pig. And also you can see featured in the B-roll where they're like wrapping food. They're wrapping like purple sweet potatoes. Mm-hmm. It's called something else in Tagalog, but they're wrapping it in banana leaves and stuff. And so you can see the different cultures represented in those kind of B-roll scenes. I was really grateful that I got to work with her and make it hopefully as authentic as possible. That's something I'm really cognizant about, that I don't ever want it to be, you know, I'm a white straight woman. And so it's like, I'm really careful about that because I want there to be representation, but I never want it to be something that's forced, like, oh, I just felt I needed to do that. Like, I want it as a real person, it's someone's real culture. Like, that's really important to me that it's represented correctly. So yeah, so it was really, really special getting to work with her doing that. And she's said to me and on other interviews, she's never, like, growing up, saw Christmas movies where there was Filipino culture and traditions at the holidays shown on TV. And so, yes, our movie is like a campy Hallmark style Christmas movie, but like, I feel it's a real win that we are able to show that representation. And so, you know, other kids that are watching are like, hey, we, you know, we put up Christmas Carol out front, the little lanterns and things, mm-hmm. like, just, I hope that that is nice for people and they see themselves. And I think that's really, really important.
Yeah, I like that as well.
Did a bang up job, because I thought it was initially like a Filipino tradition and it came off really authentic. So I think you did excellent job.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah. Well, I have Nikki to thank for that.
I was going to say, I'm like, did you get to prep for the role by eating a lot of Filipino food? Because I had a very good friend that cooked Filipino food, and I made him cook every time I came over my house. But I imagine not, since it started off as Puerto Rican.
Yes, I wish. I wish.
And I think that purple plant is called ube? Ube?
Yes, ube? Thank you.
Yes.
And that's not a Tagalog word. That is another word for a sweet potato. Ube.
Yeah, it's so pretty. Purple. It's so pretty. We don't have enough purple food in the world.
No, we don't.
Well, since we are an irreverent rom-com podcast, Katie, what is your favorite rom-com movie? Or one of your favorites?
Just pick one. It has to be your absolute
Just
favorite.
Just one. Only one.
I can give you one. The Wedding Singer. And it's my favorite because I think it really stood the test of time. I've rewatched it a couple times. And that movie, the love story is beautiful. And I think they have great chemistry. But that movie is terribly funny. And I feel like if something's going to be a rom-com, like, you want it to be funny. And the writer of that did such an amazing job. And the whole setting of it being in the 80s and all the costumes, I think it's just really fun. But the love story is really sweet. And you get your sappy moments, too, when he sings to her at the end of the plane. I feel like it has all the perfect elements that you want in a rom-com.
Yeah, Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore together, there's a reason why they've done like 4 or 5 movies. Yeah,
they're so good. Four it's or five so rom-coms. Sweet. They're just so, it's so delightful to watch them together. And you really, they clearly have a friendship and you like really see it in their movies. I think it's really nice. Yeah. What are your favorites?
Oh, God.
Let ours me would count be very the different. Ways. You know, it's funny because not a favorite of mine, but I was thinking about it because Tam and I are kind of like the sweet and sour of rom-coms. She likes the sour. I like the sweet. And she keeps on showing me, having us watch these movies that with these really unlikable characters. And she's like, isn't this amazing? And I'm like, no, I don't like it at all. And and I was thinking that I wouldn't say all Adam Sandler movies, but like, I would say The Wedding Singer is kind of the perfect intersection of a movie that we would both enjoy in a similar way to each other. And it has the sweet and the sour with it, you know?
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm just going to have to put that in our lineup for next year.
I mean, I do love a lovable grump. Like, I married a lovable grump. I feel like my favorite trope is like a lovable, you know, like... like enemies to lovers, for sure.
Yeah.
I have a question as far as like unlikable characters. I think Rudy becomes likable, but initially he comes off as very.
I am thanking your thank the lucky stars that you said that, because we were having a conversation and I was like, is he supposed to be surly and unlikable in the beginning? Because he really comes off that way.
He comes off like a dick at first. And I've reread the script. It definitely is in the script that way. But the problem is we don't get his backstory until like 45 minutes into the movie. And you're like, oh, okay. So like fell in love with someone who came and worked at the winery, and then his heart was broken and he feels like he has to work here and he has a lot of stuff going on in the inside. But we don't get to see that as an audience. Like, you would see that more if you were like reading a book. And yeah. So to Victor's credit, like, he knew the backstory of this character and he's playing it the whole way through, but just the audience doesn't know this. So watching it, I was like, oh shit, like, it really I know what's happening underneath Rudy, but no one else does. And so he's really just like, especially to this woman who's like, I want to interview you and your winery, and he's kind of like, get out of here. You're like, wait, what? Why? Like, this would be so helpful, hugely helpful, yes, for your winery. And he's like, get out of here, lady. I don't trust women. I don't know. It's really funny. That is one of those things where you rewatch it and I'm like, I feel like we could have done one more draft where we just like soften him up just a little and like get a little more clarification from another character, yes, to be like, you know, Rudy, like, I know this happened. You don't have to behave like this.
Any publicity is good publicity. But that is one of the things that did happen. And I was like, wait, huh? Mm-hmm. Wait, I'm gonna. And then the question got answered at the end. And it was almost, I would say, more satisfying, because if you stuck through it and you're like, oh, I just thought you were a dick, but there's a reason for it. Okay, great.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that does happen that way because I read so many romance novels and I like authors like Emily Henry who don't spoon feed you the exposition of what's already happened before we hit the first page. She gives it to you at the end like it's this little unwrappable mystery. And so I think I'm really influenced by that. But like, I don't know. Hallmark movies, it's like we are with this character for such a short amount of time that is one of those things when I I look at the movie, I'm like, I would like to go back and rewrite that just a tiny bit to soften him up a little, because he's coming off so strong and she's so sweet and just like excitable and he's just like, no. But I will say, I do think it makes that fireplace scene a little more satisfying because they've been through this rigmarole together and now they want to tear each other's clothes off. So I don't know. But no, he comes off as a dick initially for sure.
Yeah, I did have one. What did she do to you? What did she do to you to deserve this?
Yeah, why, Rudy? Why? If I was her, I would have been like, I'll go talk to like literally anyone else, except for that he's kind of a hunk. So he's got that going
for
him.
Oh, I know.
Which was pointed out. They're like, why are you doing it with him? Well, because he's the hottiest. And it's true. The younger brother is not, he is attractive, but not as haughty. I do say that Tamara did want to stage an intervention and just sit down with that main character and just be like, so who hurt you? And how might we process this more constructively?
Yeah, really. I mean, if we did a deep dive into Rudy, it's kind of we're looking at a little tiny bit of toxic masculinity that you can't show your feelings since you're masking up. And I just think Rudy needs a good deep cry. And then we could start the movie from that point and he'd be like a little softer and like a bit more like, you know, I've processed and I think I'm ready to like open myself up to the world and to love.
Although I do have to say, like, your movie did have all those questions that were ultimately answered, which I appreciated because, like, the Anton Rudy scene. Because I was like, why are you getting the surly, unpleasant man on camera? And then they're like, well, because he's the hot one. And I was like, oh, okay, ding, ding, ding. Yeah. I got it. And so I found that that was kind of a reoccurring theme in the movie in various different parts, small and large alike. So I think that end of the movie reveal also worked because I was like, every single question I had where I'm like, da, da, da. Oh, okay. And it was answered. And then wait. And then, oh, it was ultimately answered. So
that's good. I always hope that I'm not leaving too many ends loose. And I also, I don't know, it's a pet peeve watching anything where you're like, this logic doesn't make sense. And there are definitely still things in this movie, like Shannon being one camera person that you're like, would they really? No, they wouldn't. But that's where I have to defer to the magic of make-believe romance and just be like, yes, that is what is happening. And we accept it for what it is. And that's okay. And yeah, they could pull off a Christmas festival in 7 days. Absolutely, they could.
Oh, always. Always the trope of how what you got, how many, 3 days. We can do it in 3 days if you need us to.
We can do it in 3 days. And oh no, the freeze is coming. We can't do the festival. now, oh no. Like, I mean, there's so many moments that are just like sort of tropey and very true to the style that as a writer are sometimes hard to do, because even writing it, I'm like, is this any good? Does this make sense? Like, I feel like that wouldn't happen, but we've got it. We're at page 75 and this is where this happens. So we'll just, you know, or you get a note like they have the Christmas festival, but it just all happens so easily. Like something has to get in the way. So then you're like, that freaking freeze is coming, isn't it? There it is.
I feel a freeze. It's coming. It's in my name.
I feel a freeze a coming.
That's a perfect reason why you shouldn't have ice wine, because if you write in that there's a freeze coming, you're like, you know what? Ice wine's kind of shit. And why don't you just forget about it and just focus on the festival? And there's always like another season coming up. So,
yeah, isn't that it? But, you know, then again, that's another thing we answer. Like, why bother with this? It's like, well, it's harder, but it renders something really sweet. So
I really got to stop talking crap about ice wine. If any gentle listeners out there really do like this stuff, I apologize.
There's something for everyone, Tam. There's something for everyone.
It's true.
And we've already established that I like the salty, sour things in life. So ice wine just might not be up my alley.
That's true. That's true. Oh, you didn't say what your favorite rom-com was. Now I really want to know if you like the sour things.
My current favorite, and it's got like an underlying story to it, is About Time. And aww, that has... I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah.
It's very much like a time traveler / rom-com / my dad's dying. And I happened to see it a couple of years after my dad passed away. So it really resonated with me.
Of course.
And so I was like, what would you do? Like so I was just like so ingrained in my mind where I was like, if I had this option where I could go back and see my dad and I knew like these were my choices, like, so it just really stuck with me and is still probably one of the rom-coms that have moved me more than any other recently. Yeah. So I just say like, that's top of my list.
Oh, that's nice. So do you like romances that have more dramatic elements? Like,
I like stakes higher.
I mean, like The Notebook is not a comedy. Like, yeah. The Notebook is definitely like a dramatic romance, but I would say it's top tier romance for sure.
Yes. I definitely like higher stakes and more drama. Corinne's opposite.
Okay. I mean, I do like sassy, grumpy people, so I get it.
I like a lovable grump, which is why I love Lars and the Real Girl, but that's not a rom-com, so to speak.
Right. Oh, we're not having this conversation. We're not having this conversation, girl. We just had this last episode. We do not need to bring it up again.
I like so many romances and rom-coms, and my brain is filled with Hallmark. So, yeah.
Same. Hallmark on the brain.
Well, what's your favorite rom-com, Corinne? What's on the top of your list?
I have a favorite, like, romance.
Sure.
Which is Cinema Paradiso, but it's not a rom-com.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that either. Looking it up right now.
It's an Italian movie with a score by Ennio Morricone. It has romance and film, and it's very beautiful.
Well, that sounds nice.
Ooh, 1988.
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, I'm like looking at my tiny wall of movies. Yeah, I would say that most of my favorites aren't rom-coms. They're like romedies. One of my favorites is Overboard.
Oh,
the
yeah.
new one or the old one?
I like both.
Oh, okay.
Blasphemy, I know.
That's a good one.
I don't care. I like the remakes of movies too.
For sure.
So, Katie, do you have any future projects that you're working on that you're really excited about?
Yeah, I do. I have quite a few. Aside from like writing on my own, I have a writing partner named Amy Maestri, who's the funniest person in the world. And she and I have been writing together since I was 21. So like over a decade. And we just wrote a stoner comedy, quite the departure from Hallmark. It is a female driven stoner comedy that like takes place now. That weed is legalized in places like California and Colorado. So definitely like a different climate and just feminine energy than a movie like Pineapple Express.
Mm.
So that's one project that I really like. I think it's really funny. And then as far as stuff I've been writing on my own, I just wrote another Christmas movie. This one's a little not PG. I just kind of wrote it for myself without any mandates. And there are so very many mandates when you write a Hallmark style kind of romance or holiday movie. And so during the strikes, I just was like, I need to write something for me. And it's kind of a comedy of remarriage, kind of like Sweet Home Alabama, but set at Christmas time. Like ex-husband and wife haven't seen each other for 15 years, have to work together again. And, you know, the spark is still there. Kind of thing. But I really wanted a love scene and I put that shit in there. And so I did send it to someone at Mar Vista, but I was like in caps, like, I know this, there are elements of this that don't belong on Hallmark. I'm sorry. I had to write this for me. The story is good and it could be edited.
Yeah.
But I'm aware it's not fully appropriate. Approps. So yeah, couple things.
Now I'm so interested in this female based marijuana story. Did you inject a character in that movie that you could see yourself playing?
Well, yeah, I guess so. Amy and I have a tendency to write projects that feature two best friends, and we have another comedy that's actually a TV pilot that's about, it's like a mockumentary, kind of like What We Do in the Shadows, but about two witch sisters. And those characters definitely like deeply reflect heightened versions of ourselves. And I would say this one is more of a departure, like not written about parts of ourselves. But I think that even when we don't do that, each character still sort of has a voice that we could see ourselves playing. I mean, it'd be great. But also, I think it's one that we're like, we'd love to sell and like have like A-listers be in the movie, you know?
Yeah.
Like Greta Lee is someone that we had comped for one of the characters. I think she's so beautiful and so funny. So I would like for that one, I'm kind of like, no, someone else get after that. Yeah.
So I watched some of your reels and there was a hair ties commercial in there. Was that an actual commercial or was that a parody?
Nope, that's a real one.
Did you get paid in hair ties?
No, I didn't, actually. I didn't get to take one of those home. That was directed by my friend Chris Sheffield, who has directed quite a few things that I've done. And so he was working with this company and brought me in for that. And I was paid for it. But I will say, like, it's not necessarily a parody, but it's meant to be funny, not serious.
Silly, yeah. Yes.
It's silly on purpose, yeah.
Yes.
I'm glad that you... watched all my reels. That's so funny.
Is that on her website, katiewilbert.com?
Yes, that is on the website, katiewilbert.com. There's also a ton of ESPN like humor videos that I have no idea why they're funny because I don't watch any kind of sports at all.
Yes, I've been in quite a few Fox Sports,
yes,
comedy sketches that air on like the Sunday pre-show before the football kicks off on Sundays. The football, dear God, shows you how sporty I am. But no, I also have had to ask my husband several times where I've been like, do you know who Derrick Henry is? And like, why would that be the equivalent of running someone over with your car? And he's like, because he like mows people down. And I'm like, oh, okay. Now I have the context for this scene. And I actually, after filming that, I had written another rom-com for a real one that's like about a nanny falling in love with this uncle.
Aww.
And she has all these sports references and mentions Derrick Henry, and I only know that because of filming that Fox Sports spot.
Nice.
And that was cut because no one else reading it knew what it was either, so sorry sports, romance doesn't want you.
Oh. Thanks, hubby, too, for that bit of information.
Yeah, I mean, football's on literally all the time in my house, so he's a good resource.
I know nothing about that.
Tamara was previously involved with a super, super duper sports fan, and so, yes, there was a lot of sportsing all the time.
Yes.
Sportsing. Oh, yeah. I like that. Yeah.
We broke up and we remained friends for a while after our breakup. And his apartment started slowly, more and more, began to look like a Chargers
merchandise store.
Gift shop.
Yeah.
Like everything that he had was Chargers. Like Chargers toilet paper, Chargers shower curtains. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
When a boy loses a woman, that's what happens. Listen.
They go off the deep end in merch, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I went out on a date with a guy and he showed me pictures of his bedroom and bathroom, which were in full on Broncos covers, pillowcases, toilet seat cover, shower curtain. And I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for this level of commitment.
Damn.
You're not.
No.
You're definitely, especially Broncos. That's a lot of orange. That is a insane amount of orange, more so than anybody should have in their house.
Orange and blue?
I feel like that's the, I don't know. That's like the equivalent of if I had like Taylor Swift shower curtains and a Taylor Swift, you know, like bedding. And then I brought a guy over and was like expecting him to be like, yeah, love it. I'm not expecting you to go, yeah, love it. It's the same exact thing.
That's your like next skit is if people had their like treated their pop star loves like women treated their pop star loves like men treated their sports teams decor.
Oh, that's good.
I like
that's
this.
That's real, real good.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially being a roadie, right? Like you go to all this person's concerts and it's like getting in the way of your love life because you have this parasocial relationship with this artist. It writes itself.
My God, who knew that this interview was going to turn into a writing collab? Oh my God, let's make this happen.
I love it.
Oh, do you have anything else, Tam, on your mind?
I am good.
Katie, do you have anything else on your mind? I know you have a lot on your mind. I'm not trying to suggest.
Totally drawing a blank. Plenty on my mind. About this movie, I don't know. It's the first that I've had produced, which is really exciting. So I'm like, it's so fun for me to talk about. And that said, it's like, it's not a perfect movie, but I think it is perfectly of its genre. And I'm happy that the movie knows what it is. And it's been a fun ride. I've been writing for like 10 years. And so for this to have something finally get made is a big win. So I'm very excited and hope that I get to keep writing more and I hope people like it. But I can't control that. So
when Hallmark comes a knocking, you're going to be ready. You're going to be like, I've got your location movie set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would like to do one in the tropics so that I can come visit.
Yes.
And have a vacation.
Research.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'd be great. It's set in Hawaii and can only be filmed in Hawaii with me present.
Obviously.
Or that's when I write myself a role for, rather.
Yes.
Yeah. Katie, thank you so much for spending your weekend with us and letting us know all about your movie and answering all of our questions. It has been delightful.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much. I've listened to your podcast. I love it. You guys are great. You're so funny. And so I really appreciate you taking the time to watch it and talk to me about it. And I hope that people watch it and enjoy it. Grab a girlfriend and pour yourself a glass of wine and enjoy it.
Ice wine. Pour yourself a glass of ice wine. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Or as they say in the movie, ice vine.
Yes. Ice vine.
Ice vine.
So you've heard it here first, movie, because it was a delight.
Yes, it was.
Oh, so check it out if you can. You can watch it on Prime Video, I believe.
Yeah. Prime and also
Paramount Plus.
Yeah. Paramount Plus. And it's on Peacock now, too, and Pluto. So it's everywhere, babies.
Everywhere. A Vineyard Christmas. Check it out.
Thank you so much, Katie. Nice talking with you.
You, too. This was really fun. I really appreciate it. You guys are so great.
If you ever want to hang out with, like, a couple of almost besties, you know, just give us a ring-a-ding and we'll make it happen.
Almost besties. Uh-oh.
We're not besties? Or are you talking about me?
I just was trying to give her room and space in her relationship with us.
Okay, she's the almost bestie. Yes. I was going to get offended. I was like,
there's trouble in paradise.
Yeah. Hope the show's still on by the time we air this. Like, obviously, there's some things going behind the scenes that we don't know about.
I hang up and you guys just go at it.
Why did you ask that question? Oh. No, I'm just kidding. So, Tamara, how can we find Katie Wilbert?
She is on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter X, all at Katie Wilbert, and her website is katiewilbert.com.
And that's Katie with an I-E.
And Wilbert with a W-I-L-B-E-R-T.
And if you have anything you'd like to say about our Katie Wilbert interview or anything else, you can reach out to us by email, onedrykiss@gmail.com, or on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, Twitter X and Facebook, all at onedrykiss.
And that's one spelled O-N-E. And as always, if you can find the time to rate and review us anywhere you listen to this podcast, we'd greatly appreciate it. But in the meantime, we and Katie Wilbert would like to thank you for stopping by. And we bid you adieu with one dry kiss. Mwah. See you next time.
See you next time. Yay! Aww.
Can you hear a text coming through? I'm so sorry.
No.
Yes. You can. A little ding. I heard it.
Oh, just you heard it. Sorry. I'm trying to, like, how do I make it stop?
Look, we all know you're popular, Katie, okay?
It's my mom. I'm sorry. She just loves me so much.
I think it's fine.
Yeah, it's going to sound good.
I totally think it's fine.
I'm going to make it pretty. I'm going to make it real pretty.
I believe it. I'm not too
worried.
She's
really, really good.
You're going to sound like you're in the cathedral. There's going to be angels. No, I'm just kidding.
Perfect.
That would be amazing if you actually did that.